Colossians chapter 4. Now, last week we gave you out a sheet that is a kind of a summary of what it is that we were looking at in this prayer. If you have that sheet, you might want to get it out. I have another sheet as well that I'm going to give you that I didn't give you last week, but I'll do that a little bit later here. For those of you who didn't get this sheet that has the summary, you might want to hold up your hand and I'll give you a copy. This prayer I've titled the prayer for the outsider. That's the actual word that's used in the passage. It has to do with a person who's not saved, and it's a prayer that has to do with our sharing our faith with somebody. And we've looked at this prayer a little bit. It's a very short prayer. It's not very long, but it covers a lot of ideas that would prepare us and keep us in tune with what it is God wants us to do on a day-to-day basis of having our own hearts opened up to share. And I'm going to ask you some questions about that from the words that are actually in this passage, and then we'll look at the passage itself, and it centers on many different ideas, but the idea that is really the centerpiece of this is that God would open a door for us to share the mystery of Christ. Okay? That God would open a door for us to share the mystery of Christ. And so we're going to kind of look at that, you know, what's the door, and how is he to open that door, and then what is this mystery that we're to share with people? Okay? Now, let's take a look at it, but let me read the verses first, and then we will go through it because it's not very long. Again, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear and the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards the outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. All right? So you can take all that together, and that is the prayer. The last part of it, verses 5 and 6, are not actually a part of the prayer, but it has to do with the kind of response or the way you handle yourself when you share. Okay, so it would be something that you would include within the prayer. Make sure that I do this right. Okay, and so what is it that's supposed to be right? Okay, and so we've given you the list there in front of you. The first thing that's said in this prayer, it's not actually a part of the prayer. It's getting ready, the preparation for the prayer. A preparation in relationship to the attitudes and the motives of the prayer. And that is verse 2. And that's what you see on the sheet. 2 plus 1, preparation. What you have are essentially two actions that you're supposed to take. And then there is one attitude that you're supposed to have. Okay? As you pray for the outsider. As you pray for yourself about getting ready to share in relationship to the Word. Okay, so the first thing that it mentions to you is that you're to devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to this type of prayer. Okay, now the question would be, what's it mean to devote yourself to prayer? Now, everybody in this room, okay, has gone through an experience where we've shared our faith with somebody. Okay, but most of us are not inclined, or are we open to all the concepts that are there as to sharing the Word? We would love to share the Word every single day, but that doesn't occur. Okay? Because it doesn't occur, what you find yourself doing is going into apathy. Okay? You go into a kind of neutral attitude toward the idea of sharing. Okay, so what is the Word? These are the two actions. These are the two things you're supposed to do in getting ready for this prayer. okay, or in relationship to the prayer. It says you devote yourself to this type of prayer. So what's the word devote mean, do you think? What do you think the word devote means? What is it that you're supposed to be doing in the word devote? So that's what we're asking. This is not a rhetorical question. This is, you know, I want you to speak here.
Yeah. How about dedicate?
Okay, dedicate. All right, that would be a good word. What would you mean by dedicate? Does that mean that you get up in the morning and you say one idea about this, or do you do this once a month? Or what's that mean?
Well, I think it means that that is your emphasis for getting up in the morning. Is to do what he has in mind for us to do.
All right. So you would devote yourself to this particular kind of prayer.
Living.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Persistent.
What?
Persistent.
Okay. Persistent. Okay. Actually, that is what the root of this word is persistent. Okay. There are two concepts that are associated with the idea of devote. It has to do with being persistent, and it has to do with fervor.
Passion.
Okay? So that is essentially, you came in late here, where we gave you a sheet.
I helped you out.
So that is essentially what this word actually means, devote. It means to be strong in behavior towards this idea. Okay? And how do you become strong in behavior towards this idea? You're to be persistent about it, and you're to be fervent about it. You're going to have passion about it. Okay? So those are the two concepts. That's what we have to look at in relationship to this group. This group, more than likely, has gone into apathy. Okay, I'm just speaking about myself. Okay, it's very simple because you are a Christian and you're walking on a day-to-day basis to have all sorts of things in your mind about how God wants you to walk. But one of the things that you find that is a part of Paul's life, because this prayer is mentioned several other places, Paul uses this prayer often. And if you look at the life of Paul, there are two things that Paul is consistently doing in relationship to his prayer life. He's always holding up and praying for those people that God has brought into his life. Okay? So these are the people he has witnessed to or he has worked with, okay, over a long period of time. You go to the end of Romans, and there's about 30 people that are listed there that he is consistently engaging with in relationship to prayer and writing letters to. So whoever God has brought into your life that you have ministered to, or as a part of your family, this is something that you are to devote yourself to in prayer. The other thing that you find that Paul always is doing is praying for the open door. He is consistently praying for the open door. He is consistently asking God to do this. And he is not apathetic about it. That's the point. He is devoted to this lifestyle. Now, when's the last time that you asked God to open a door for you to speak on his behalf? See, we're not very devoted to this. This is just not a prayer we pray. We like the first category. We like to pray for those people that God has brought into our lives that we really know and that we are ministering to and that are a part of our family. That's a big prayer for us. And most all of us would be engaged in that prayer. Okay? But most of us are not engaged in the prayer. We're not devoted to the prayer. We're not persistent. We're not strong. We're not passionate, okay, about the prayer. Okay? And so what we find is we're not used very often. Okay? The other word that's associated with this is alert. Okay? If you're devoted to the prayer, you're persistent in the prayer, you're passionate about the prayer, then the next word comes just generally. I mean, it's just the word that follows right after that. It's the next action. See, that's an action. To pray, be persistent in this prayer. Okay? And you have to ask yourself, how persistent are you? Are you good on the first category? Almost all of us say yes. Are we good on the second category? Most of us would say we're not. Okay? We're not very devoted to that. Thus, we are not alert. We are just not alert. Okay? As to what God might want to bring. And so that's essentially what you're praying. These are two actions you're taking. You're devoting yourself. You're making sure that you pray this prayer. See, that's the point. You pray the first prayer, but you don't pray the second prayer. You pray, take care of my family today. Take care of the friend that's in the hospital. Take care of all these people that are close to me. All these people that are I minister to, or are part of my life. But this prayer is the outsider. We don't know the outsider. Okay? This is somebody that's not a part of our life. Okay? And God says, I want you to be devoted to this prayer. And I want you to be alert to the possibility that it can occur. Okay? So that are the two actions that you and I are to be a part of. Okay? In relationship to our prayer. Now, when I look at this, I'm just like you. That's not the way I pray. I pray the first category consistently. In other words, all the friends, the family, all the people that are part of my life that God has brought. The second prayer, I hardly pray at all. In any kind of devoted, persistent, passionate way. Okay? And I'm very often not alert to any kind of, you know, when I walk into a gas station and I'm paying some bill, you know, to the guy, most often you will find that they say something to you, you don't say things to them. If they're a fairly good person in their business and the way they handle themselves, they have been trained to be friendly. Okay? And so they say something kind to you. You find yourself you're not opening any door. You're just paying the bill. See? So you're not alert to any kind of response that God could give in relationship to some small action or some big action. Okay? And so that's what he's saying in this. Be devoted to this prayer and be alert that God will open the door. Okay? And so that's essentially what's being said there.
We're usually into it in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to hear.
That's right.
Our ears have been cut off.
Yeah. That's right. And I really do believe that one of the reasons we are not very much a part of this is because we pray the first prayer so much. I mean, our prayer life is essentially centered on all the people we know. Okay? We are not centered on reaching outside. That's what this prayer is about. The outsider. The person who does not know the mystery. Okay? So that's essentially the first thing that you and I need to be very, very much aware of. Okay? So that's the challenge. Any questions on that?
No, but our life is centered around not coming in contact with people.
That's true.
We get our gasoline with a car.
Yep.
We swipe everything.
That's exactly right.
There's no communication.
Now, that's a good point. One of the things you might be asking is, if that's true, are there actions that I should take to break that pattern to where I would have contact? Just the chance of saying something. Like you said, we never swiped it. We always took it in. Okay, just in the gas station concept. Okay. And so that's a very good point. The American society has eliminated basic contacts. Okay. So you have to start beginning the prayer. Okay, where are doors that I might need to move to? You know, where you might open doors up. Okay. You know, Paul, Sherry and Jeff's son, who's in Iowa doing his ministry work up there, we went and prayed for him the other night. You know, the one thing that stood out to me about that particular event, I mean, there were a lot of things that stood out, but the thing that really is centered in my mind, that Paul, when he was sharing his experiences, he said, I led two people to the Lord that were at work. And you go, when's the last time I led somebody to the Lord? You know? I mean, that's the point, see. Paul was open to, he was at a place that this could occur, and it happened. That is exactly what's being asked here. So we have to begin to look at ourselves very closely and see where we are, if we are just centered on that other style without looking at this particular event that God wants to happen. I mean, you look at Karis and you look at all these people all around the world. That is their mission. See, they're not just surrounding themselves with nothing but Christian people. They have got to reach beyond the Christian people. Okay? And so that's essentially what we do. So that's a good point that we might spend too much time isolating ourselves. Okay, to where we have nothing.
We don't do that. We don't have a computer at all. And everybody, you know, and they talk on the computers. They don't talk to one another anymore.
That's true. That's right.
You know, that it really stopped to think when you don't have a computer, sometimes it's a lonely life. Because no one communicates
with
you.
That's right. That's a good point.
Yes, but the computer loses something personal.
Yeah, very definitely.
Last year at Christmas time, I correspond with one of my girlhood friends in Illinois. And at Christmas time, I got to thinking about it. I thought, I can sit there and type all this stuff on there, but I don't hear her voice. So I picked up the phone and called her. I think we talked for an hour. And it was just so satisfying just to be able to talk. And she's a very devoted Christian. And so it was just a wonderful, but the computer loses something that you don't have.
Yeah. Somebody else here? Yeah, sure.
In the midst of meeting someone, the context of the verse is that we pray then, and that we are alert in our prayer for our vicinity.
That's right. Okay. This is the action that we actually do. So we're praying. We're devoted to this, but we're devoted to a particular type of prayer. So we're alert on a given day as we go through so that the prayer can actually become active.
I think sometimes it might be misunderstood. It's a good idea just to pray that in the morning. But as you go through the day, it brings you back to this passage. If you actually pray that while you're speaking to the lady across the counter, actually yesterday, Jeff and this other husband were trying on some shirts, and this other lady and I were just standing there. So the Lord brought this passage to my mind. And then I got kind of fearful. I thought, oh no. So I was kind of praying, and just, you know, you just don't know exactly how to direct the conversation. So anyway, wound up, she was from Enid, and I said, oh, I'm from Shattuck. And so from there, the Lord directed into quite a wonderful conversation. But there was nothing biblical about it. I mean, we didn't get off into spiritual things, but he gave me some information I really needed about my parents' health. And I thought, well, that was really interesting, Lord. But anyway, we'll probably cover that later. But my first reaction was, I was fearful because I saw it as a pass fail.
Yeah.
If I don't do this, then I fail.
Right.
And he doesn't mention the fears here of what the enemy brings in to try to keep us from doing this.
Right.
But that was certain one of them jumping that concern and fear.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But the idea of being alert, see, that's the point. Most of us, when we're engaged or we're doing different kinds of activities, we are not alert to the open door. We're just not concentrating on the open door. And no matter how small the open door may be, in other words, all you're doing is planting a seed or an idea, or this person has some kind of joy or meaning in their lives, or anything, you know, that has to do with your relationship with God, that it's a part of the mystery of your own life, okay, he can do anything with that. Okay? And like many times you've had somebody who is just bright and say, I hope you have a good day. You know, just that particular word right there had just lift you up, especially if you're having a really bad day, you know, and that somebody would be moving towards you. I usually use contact, like particularly with my students. There's a phrase that I think is really, really apropos for this particular idea of being alert. It's written by George Herbert in a poem called Love. It's called Quick-Eyed Love. It's quick-eyed. Now, what that really means is God is alert to the hurt of a person. He is alert to the hurt of a person. He is quick-eyed. He sees it immediately. Okay? And in this poem, love, after he sees it, moves to do something. Okay? And it can be something very small, or it can be something gigantic. And so when my students come into my class, one of the alert parts of this, and of course these students can be either outsiders or they can be insiders. Either way. Okay? Because a lot of times they look like they're insiders, but they're not. They're outsiders. Okay? So you don't really know. But you notice, if you're just paying attention as you move through life, you see people who are hurt. If you have God inside of you, He will move you to see. He will cause you to become quick-eyed. Okay? And very often, what I do is I make a point, somehow or other, to put an arm around them. Say, how's your day going? Okay, are you okay? And so I'll just move over there and just put my hand on them, on their shoulder. And then I'll look them in the eye and I'll say, you doing? I'll give them a hug. Okay. And so this is the idea of being alert to the opportunity of an open door. See? Because if you're not alert, the open door will go right past you. It's just not there. You don't see it. Okay? It's not a part of your consciousness. And so you miss it unless God hits you over the head with a hammer and really, you know, shows you against the wall. Wake up! You know? And sometimes that does very definitely occur, because a person will just kind of almost shout at you, I'm hurting, I need some help here. Okay? But that's about the only time we seem to be responsive. You know, we come out with our lethargy and go, okay, yeah, I've got to do, you know, I need to respond. Yeah.
There's another part to that, too. We get so caught up in our plans, in our busyness, that God can literally bring them into you, and you're like, okay, I know that, but I'm going to do that today. You know, I've got to get on the road. And as we get older and start slowing down, my list doesn't seem to be getting any shorter.
Yeah.
You know, it's an effort sometimes to take time for the hurting person.
Yeah, that's right.
That is not on my list for today.
It's not on the list for the day.
And we rush on by, so we need to be alert that if that's God's plan for us, that we need to stop and take time, even though it doesn't happen to be on our agenda. Yeah.
Again, that is a part of these two words, devoted and alert. Because if you're devoted, it is on your list at any time. Okay? That's the point. We make the list, but we don't even pray the prayer. Okay? But if you're devoted, you pray the prayer and you're alert. Just like when I walk into the room, either I'm not conscious of the kids there, or I am conscious. I've got my lesson that I've got to do. I've got to do this, this, and this, and this. Don't bother me. Okay? Or I am alert to the open door. Yeah. Daisy, yeah?
Maybe I mean, not. Years ago, I heard a teacher say she was a missionary, and she said something very strange to me at the time, but it goes along to me in the work. Every time that she was handling siren or a fire truck siren, we pray for whatever person needs your prayer at that time. You don't know them, but you don't have an open door to witness to them, but you can pray for them.
Very good. Now, our responsibility is the devoted and the alert. Okay, that is the responsibility here. That's why I put it out and separated off, and that's exactly what the prayer does. Is the prayer doesn't begin until verse 3. Okay, so verse 2 is what's talking about these things here. Okay. Then it tells you what to pray. Okay. So this is our responsibility. This is what we are to be about. This is what's supposed to be cognizant within our mind. The third one there is thanksgiving. Okay? You have two actions and one attitude. And the attitude is with thanksgiving. Now, we mentioned this last week, and I just want to give a little push on this so we can get a little further on down into the prayer itself. But one of the things that causes you to be devoted and to alert is because you are broken by the understanding of what God has done for you, which causes you to be thankful. You sit here and go, I am so thankful that I know the mystery of Christ. I am so thankful I am an insider, not an outsider. I am so thankful He has touched me. And inside your heart, you're just overwhelmed that He's touched you. That becomes the motivation. Be devoted and alert. Okay? So you might go, okay, I gotta do this in obedience. I gotta be devoted and I gotta pray this prayer. You know? That is it. See, that's not it. If what drives this is that your understanding of what God has done for you. When you were an outsider, somebody moved to come and bring you in. Okay? God moved a person to speak to you, touch you, and be a part of your life. And He brought you in. Okay? And He wants you to be doing the same thing. Okay, to be a part of that operation. And so that's what's going. So what keeps you going? What keeps you fervent? Who keeps, you know, looking for the opportunity? Is all that God has done for your own life that you're thankful for. And that's what causes you to make the move. That's why you become alert. That's why you become devoted to the outsider.
Is that the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think there's a word in here we've missed, and that's sensitivity?
Sure.
I think that takes away self.
Yeah.
And your sympathy to the other.
That's right. That's a very good point. Okay. Now, we mentioned last week as we were going through the prayer, verses 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, the operation that Ernestine was really talking about right there. What you have at the very beginning of this prayer is the acknowledgement that this is a process done by God, not by you. You don't orchestrate this. This is almost like happenstance, except that it's not. It's destiny. And that's where you begin to sense the purpose of your own life. Okay? In other words, you are offering yourself as an instrument. You are being devoted. You are being thankful. You are being alert. Now God moves, because you can't do this. You cannot open the door. You cannot cause this to happen. Okay? God does. And so what you're asking Him to do is to make you a part of that process. But He is the one who's going to do it. So, Sherry, did the door go wide open? It did not.
Whose choice is that? That's God's choice. So there is no failure. Perhaps the only failure would be is that you didn't move. Okay? And I do believe that there is responsibility here. I mean, these are the crowns. The people who move, the people who don't move. The people who are devoted, the people who aren't devoted. Okay, who are Christians. Okay, what are the crowns? What are some of the five crowns that God says? What are the rewards that you will receive? Okay, well, one of the rewards is the people that you witness to, the people that you bring your life to. Okay, so are you devoted to work? Are you making the move or aren't you? Okay, but what can you do? You can go down and we can say, all right, let's meet at the elder board and let's meet at the church, and we mentioned this last week. Let's canvas this block over here, this section of houses over here, which we've actually done. I've done that with this church. So we went over there and door to door and we knocked and we gave them stuff and made little surveys. You know, Campus Crusade's got all these kinds of things to open the door. Okay? But again, who's going to open the door? God.
God wants us to be interested in other people besides ourselves.
Yeah.
Usually we're self-interested and we think about ourselves in the circumstance. But you notice that anytime you ask a person to do something for you or you compliment them over something, suddenly this becomes a crack in the door. And I think our present self-isolation is some of the things that we go up and use our credit card and it won't be the right direction, you know. So we ask somebody, how do you get this thing in there to make it work for your credit? Suddenly you have a crack in the door and you can talk about other things as well. So there's always something like, you say, putting your hand on their shoulder or speaking to them, asking them for a favor. You ask somebody for a favor and they become interested in you. You get a chance to talk to them.
Even with your kids or stuff like that, you find we got to make supper. You know, let's pick up this, pick up that. I mean, it's amazing how little we might move to not be part of the list, but be a part of their life. How was your day? Come sit down and talk to me about it. And what was the best thing that happened today? And what was the worst thing that happened today? And you'd be surprised how much information you get, and you get no information, and yet you're walking side by side with each other. You know, going through the meals, doing the different kinds of things, the chore lists. And so that's what you're talking about, being interested in to make that move. Okay. All right, so, yes.
Like last night, me and my two kids, we sat before we played games. We haven't done that in years, you know, in a long time. So, like you said, I hear them talking back and forth, and I talk to them. I learned a lot about what they've been doing, you know. I'm a single mom, I work up here, and I learned how what they did in the afternoons. You know, we have a dog that's sick, so we've all taken turns taking care of her. And just like you said, we sit and we play. Their TV wasn't on, we didn't play no video games, no nothing. We were all right there in the floor playing games and talking and cutting up and just, you know, being together.
Good. All right, well, let's take a look at the rest of what it's saying here. The word may in that verse 3, that God may open up to us. Okay, the word may is conditional. What I mean is it's His choice. Okay, He may not open it, or He may open it. Okay, how wide will He open it? You know, all of that is His condition. When? Where and who? Okay. All we're to do is to be devoted and alert. Okay. Now, what is it that you share? What is it that you give? It tells you very point blankly what you're to share and what you're to give. It is the mystery of Christ.
it's attached to a word that has been spoken to you. Okay, and that's what it says. You are ministers, you are bearers of the word of the mystery of Christ. That's what the verse is saying. You are to speak a word about the mystery of Christ that has to do with your life. Okay, so that's what you're doing. Now, how do you do it? Then it tells you some of the things that you should remember as to how you give this word to this person. Okay, so that's a part of the prayer. Make me be clear. Make this be wise. Make this be of grace. Make this be salt. Salt has all sorts of properties to it we could explore. It's healing, but it preserves, but it's also very hard on things. Okay, so at times it would be healing. You know, you put salt on a wound. I mean, it's gonna do its job, but it's sure gonna hurt. Okay, so it has all sorts of properties. And the last thing you see here in this verse, in the very last verse there, is this is tailored by God through you to an individual heart. Okay, so this is not a kind of track that you hand to everybody. Okay? It is tailored for their own heart. So you're asking God to give those things to you. That I would be clear, that I would have your wisdom, that I would do this in grace, that I would do it like salt, and I would do it for this individual's heart. Okay? So those are some of the governing things that you would pray. And it is also what you will become. Okay? In other words, while you're doing this, this is what you're to be. So you're asking God to make you be this way. Okay? So that's a part of the prayer. It's a very, very, very good prayer in relationship to how you go about dealing with the outside of it.
They may have already heard it, but I heard it again this week. A grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Mm-hmm. And really, that's how we share our testimony.
Yeah, that's right. All right. The next question, which we do not have time to get into at full length, which we will carry into next week, and we may not go all the way into next week doing this, but we'll get into something else, is, all right, what is it that you're sharing? It is the word about the mystery of Christ. And that is not explained. So what you now do is go through the rest of the Word of God and you pull in what is the mystery of Christ. So that's what we're going to look at next. This is the content of what you share. Okay? It's attached to a spoken word. It's attached to a spoken word. You're speaking. Okay? So what is it that you're telling them? You're talking to them about the mystery of Christ. So it's put in three little words as to what it is you're to say. Then you go back through the Word of God and you look at what that means. Okay? And we will spend only, with this time, we will spend only in Colossians. Okay? But in Colossians it's used twice. Okay? The word mystery is used twice. And actually in Colossians and Ephesians, it defines it better than any place in the Bible. Okay? So we will be able to look at it pretty succinctly as to what its essence is. And then we'll spread it through the rest of the Word. Because the word mystery is actually used 30 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament it had a certain emphasis. In the New Testament it has a different emphasis. And so it's a very beautiful thread that God pulls throughout the whole thing. And what He's saying is, this is what you share. Okay, this is what you share, okay, with the people that you have the door open for. Okay, now it could be, like you said, just the smallest piece of what you share. It could be just an attitude or a thing. But what we're going to see is that in truth, it is this deep, deep mystery about who He is and who you are in Him.
Okay? So that covers an awful lot of area about who you are. Okay? So let's take a look at it. Now, I'm going to give you a sheet here. This doesn't cover the 30, but it gives you a good overview.
So you can go back and look at these passages yourself through the week or whatever, and we'll look at them a little closer.
All right, if you turn back to Colossians chapter 1, 27, this is the essence of the mystery. Colossians 1, 27. You want to go to the chief passage in the Bible that would really define what the mystery of Christ is. Okay? It's not the whole mystery, but it's a good starting spot. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Okay? That is the answer. What is the mystery? The mystery is that God lives inside of you. And if you're talking to an outsider, God does not live inside of them. That's the chief difference. And that's the chief thing you're sharing. It's what they don't have and what you have. And that can be...
What verse is
it? This is Colossians 1:27. It's on that sheet. It's the very first verse. Okay? It is the riches of that glory. It is the riches of that glory that is a part of your life. Okay? It is the thing that's inside of you that literally is the only real difference in anything. If you look at in relationship to everything that it all boils down to as we finally finish the life off of humanity, okay, and you come to judgment, there's only one question. Is He in there or isn't He in there? If He's not in there, you're an outsider. If He's in there, you're the son and daughter of God. That's it. That's salvation. That is the essence of the question when it all comes down to it. And that is a mystery, see, that God can do that, that He can actually be inside you. That's a huge mystery. And what all it means, and all its beauty, and all of its riches of glory. Okay? And that's what you're sharing. So it's not so much the gospel, you know, Christ died for you, that you be saved. Though that is certainly the initial step that has to occur. Okay, you must see your need, and He is going to give you the provision. But it's not like God coming along and writing you a ticket and handing you a ticket to salvation. Okay, I bought you, I paid for it, okay, here's your ticket. Okay, it's a whole lot bigger than that. Okay? And the beauty of it is that you taste and breathe and feel and have the power of God in you. That's its beauty. It's forgiveness. It's transforming. It changes you into a new creature. okay? So that's what you're sharing. And whatever element that you share, okay, they're sitting here telling you about I'm worth nothing. Okay? And you are chosen by God to speak to them about their worth as nothing. He is the one who chose you to speak to them. He's the one who opened the door. He put you in that spot. If he puts you in that spot, he wants you to speak to them about their pain and his ability to change that pain. And you probably know an awful lot about how God changed that in you.
The mystery also is the fact that everybody has an appetite for this. We're born to receive the Lord's entry. So this instinct with any other person that they don't even realize is there is your accommodation to speak the word.
Yeah. Very good. I'm going to finish on this. The word mystery does not mean it's mysterious. Okay? It has that element. In other words, God himself is far greater than our mind can comprehend, so he's mysterious. Okay? But that's not what its real meaning means. It is something that is unknown. That is what the word mystery means. Something that is unknown. Okay? And what you find in the Word of God is that the mystery of Christ, the unknown of Christ, is no longer unknown. It's revealed. Okay? So the New Testament, the Old Testament, very often was a kind of hiding of God. He was mysterious. He was something that not every day, every person had an experience with. Okay? So he was kind of aloof. Okay? But what you find in the New Testament is that is completely wiped out. Okay? And so what you have is every man is now called by the revealing of the mystery. It's no longer hidden. It is now available for every single person upon the face of the earth to know. So it's kind of a misnomer. The mystery of Christ. It's a mystery only to those who are the outsiders. To the insiders, those who walk with God, it's not a mystery at all. Okay? There's no mystery to it, except in its beauty and its glory. Okay? So to you and me, it's not a mystery. So you're sharing something they don't understand. They are still in the unknown. You are in the known. Let me kind of finish this up with John chapter 14, which is at the bottom of the page there. It's one of the words, as a teenager and as a grown man, this verse has just enthralled me. Okay, John 14. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. It is no longer a mystery. What God is saying here is, I love you and my Father loves you. And the verses right previous says, we will come and make our abode in you because we love you. And what will we do while we're in there? We will disclose ourselves to you. The mystery is no longer a mystery. Okay? And that disclosing is what you share. Okay? That's what you share. And that sounds real nebulous in some ways. We're going to kind of narrow it down a little bit. But the point of it is, you have tasted God. And what you're holding out to them is, I have tasted him. You can taste him too. You hurt, I hurt.
He has come, and he's a part of me. He can become a part of you, and you won't hurt. He will take you, and he will love you, and he will manifest himself to you. Okay? That's what we offer. And so that's essentially what you're giving, see. Any questions?
Christianity is the only religion that has an intimate relationship.
That's exactly right.
Everything else, the Indians, the Great Spirit up there, and the Buddha.
It's nothing but a
virgin. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so we know what the mystery is, and we know that God calls us, and that he opens the doors for us, and he always provides everything we need to do this, then why is it always so scary?
Some people have given isolated gift to walk up and just talk to anybody. But most often that's not what occurs. What you're looking for is a door that's a crack. Okay? And what you're looking for is something like just what you said, some tidbit that leads you into a relationship. And that's where you share. That's where you get there. And then there are other things that you can do, like putting your arm on somebody that you're allergic to the hurt of that person, and you cannot do anything except, I hope that God walks with you today. I know that God walks with you today. Or, are you okay? If there's anything I can do, just put your arm. That is God ministering through you to that person. Okay? It's not some big huge spiel of the gospel. Okay? The gospel is God inside you. That's it. He loves you and he's going to talk about that. Now, it will lead to those things. You will need to know all those things because they're a part of what he has disclosed. Okay? But that is what's going on. And a lot of times it's just sharing of that intimacy and what he's done to help you, even in the smallest thing. You would not be putting your arm around him if the love of God didn't drive you there. And you weren't ordered to. What happened? Listen to me. Okay.